trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have had their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today's, we have the concluding sermon, if you would, in the five-part series that we began 4 weeks ago, so that we could prepare for the great fast by looking at the readings that lead up to it. On Zacchaeus Sunday, we talked about how the great fast is our sycamore tree. It allows us to rise up above our sins and our passions and be able to better see Christ and to better know Him. On the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, we said that a predicate for good, for the fast and for good coming from it is to have a humble and a contrite heart. On the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, we saw that we are called to repentance, and repentance includes action. We have to take action to come back to God. Last Sunday was the Sunday of Last Judgment. Of course, my homily was that it was last and it's judgment. And that we have to recognize that God is all merciful and all just. And that He Himself tells us that there will be judgment, and the judgment based on our deeds. So, first of all, we have two messages for today. And the first message is, don't let others know you're fasting. They can be so hypocritical for us to say, oh, I'm sorry, I really can't participate in that or have that particular food item. Because you see, I'm Orthodox, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and we go on and on. Not only are you boring, okay, but also you've already had your reward. Okay? So just do the fast with your Father's knowledge. And no one else's. Yeah, that's the first message. The second is that this is Forgiveness Sunday. And that title, Forgiveness Sunday, says it all. If we're going to have a prosperous fast, we have to rid ourselves of ill will towards our brothers and sisters and be reconciled to them. To go into the fast without forgiving hearts is an exercise in futility. If we harden our hearts, how do we expect that the grace of God, okay, that He would pour out to us in during the fast is going to soften that heart? We've got to get rid of that enmity. Jesus tells us that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven by God. So we'll be coming into the fast, and if we don't forgive, we won't have been forgiven, and we won't find forgiveness. He says this in Matthew's Gospel. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty direct. If you forgive, you will receive forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you will not receive forgiveness from God. Very direct. What good can all of the fasting, prayer, scripture readings, and almsgiving do for a heart that's filled with lingering anger with our brother who has wronged us? The very purpose of the fast is to become righteous. Righteous, that we know means to be in right relationship. To be in right relationship with both God and man. And that relationship begins with being forgiven by God. And His forgiveness is predicated on us forgiving those who have wronged us. Jesus tells us to be reconciled with our brother, in that it is a predicate, He says, even to fruitful worship. Jesus speaking in Matthew's Gospel again, this time in the 5th chapter. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. You say, well, Father, that means like if I wrong somebody, then I've got to go and be reconciled. But see, it wasn't me that did the wrong. It's that other rascal that wronged me. The reconciliation has to start somewhere. And if we're going to be claimed to be Orthodox Christians, people of the way, people who practice the faith founded by Jesus Christ, then we've got to take the first step. We've got to take the first step. Jesus taught us to ask for God's forgiveness when we pray the Lord's Prayer daily. But as we seek God's mercy, we ask to be forgiven only to the extent that we're forgiven. Think of that every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we're going to get into that word debt here shortly. If therefore, it is therefore at our own peril that we hold grudges, remember insults and slights, remain mindful of the wrongs done to us by others. Again in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. And he says that the servant owed, you know, you remember this, the servant owed a certain amount to his master, and the master was going to throw him into prison. And they said, wait, give me a little more time and I'll surely come up with it. And so the master relents and forgives him. Okay, and not only does he relent, but the master forgives him the debt. Okay? And what does the servant do? Well, it says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's a pretty scary parable. The master became angry with the servant and delivered him to the torturers until he had paid all that was due. And Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Listen, it's for our own good also that we forgive. We sometimes say, well, I don't want to forgive that rascal. You know, why should I do that? You know, then he doesn't even know that he won't even appreciate the evil that he did or she did to me. If for no other reason, so that your sins and your debts can be forgiven. Perhaps there's some who would say, but I don't have anyone to forgive. No one's wronged me. And I would say to you, God bless you. And I'd ask you the question, are you sure? Because there are those who have disappointed us by not meeting our expectations. Perhaps our child or other loved one when we think that we have forgiven. But does our tone of voice or impatience reveal something else? There are those who have hurt us as a society, such as the abortionist and the terrorist. Have we forgiven them? Sometimes our hurts may not be real, but imagined, such as being slighted. But still, have we forgiven? But what if the one who hurts us doesn't know that they hurt us? Or even worse, knows and doesn't care? Do we really have to forgive still? Jesus says, yes, we still have to forgive. Back in Matthew's gospel, again, staying in this fifth chapter, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. See, he didn't say love them after they ask forgiveness. Love them after they've been reconciled to you. Love them after they've acknowledged their wrong to you. No. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He says we have to love our enemies. Jesus practiced what he preached. In Luke's gospel, he's hanging on the cross, and what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. None of them stood there at the foot of the cross and said, forgive us because we've wronged you. Forgive us because we wouldn't accept you as the Son of God. Forgive us because we've crucified you. Instead, they stood there and they mocked and they spit on him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus hanging on the cross can forgive those who crucified him, can we say it's too hard to forgive those who have hurt us? Forgiveness Sunday is the day for us first to forgive all who have hurt us. That's number one. It's necessary for them and for us. But likewise, it's a day for us to seek forgiveness from those whom we have injured, starting here at the parish. Some may say, but I have not hurt anyone. This time I won't say God bless you. I'll talk with you rather about that word debts. The New Testament uses five different words for sin. One of them is the Greek word. Now, I didn't have too much Greek, so if you know better, you just speak up. The Greek word ophelema is one of these. It is the word used in the Lord's Prayer that is translated debt. Debt is the first translation. It's from the root word ophelo, which means debt or owe, but includes due, D-U-E, or duty, as in giving one their due or doing our duty. Now we ask ourselves, has any one of us done all that is our duty to those around us? Have we given his due to each person that we come in contact with? Have we been prideful when we've been kind to others or have done something for another? You see, that can also be our sin. We can be kind and then lord it over the other. We can be kind and be puffed up with what fine person we are. Have we been impatient with another? Have we avoided another? Have we failed to help another when we could have? Have we failed to pray for another, especially each other here at the parish? Have we spoken ill of another? Have we thought ill of another? So today at Vespers, we ask forgiveness of each other for all the wrongs and the slights we've done to each other during this year, starting with me as your pastor. I may have injured you because I was distracted and did not give you the attention that I should have. I may have injured you by not preparing my sermon as I should have. I may not have prayed enough for you. I may have been a bad example to you. And for all of those things and for so many more, I'm in need of your forgiveness. So too each of us surely has failed to give to our fellow parishioners that which is their due as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we're not even aware of our actions and their effects on others, but we nonetheless need to ask for and to receive forgiveness for them. Thank God for this day of mutual forgiveness. And let's conclude by calling to mind Paul's admonition to the Ephesians when he wrote in his fourth chapter, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.